All right, round two. My next guest is David Clement, who is North American Affairs Manager of the Consumer Choice Center, and he joins me now to talk about sugar taxes. David, thanks so much for being with me.
Thank you very much for having me on the show.
Okay, so I asked my last guest, Karen Boyd, who's pushing the idea of a sugar tax on soda. Does it work? Is it successful? Because a lot of people look at it as just a simple tax grab. How do you see it?
The way I see it is twofold. One, it's a regressive tax on the poor. And two, with what we've seen in other jurisdictions, it fails to reduce caloric intake by any significant measure. So I would argue that the opinion that it's just a tax grab is quite accurate.
So she said it's been tried and it has demonstrated that it has an impact. Are you guys looking at just different sets of data? What are you looking at that says that it doesn't reduce?
So I think... if you measure the impact in terms of like kilocalories per day, if you use Mexico as an example, the reduction of 6 calories per day is not something really worth applauding. So you could say that it had an impact, but I mean, that amount of calories changed in your daily diet is nothing. It's almost statistically insignificant. And so when we have public health officials who advocate for this and they highlight that impact, it's not something necessarily worth celebrating in the way in which they do. And it comes with some pretty terrible negative externalities, which is the regressiveness and its impact on people of low socioeconomic status.
So when they talk about it raising $3.5 million in taxes over the next 25 years, that amount of tax is disproportionately going to be paid by those who are low income.
Yeah, so if we look at other jurisdictions, around 60% of the tax revenue generated comes from low socioeconomic status folks or poor people. So it would come from poor Albertans in this case. And when we look at that 3.5 figure, that means that $2.13 billion over 25 years would be coming from the pockets of low-income Albertans. And for me, that's a pretty scary number.
Do you recognize, though, that something should be done to reduce the overall amount of refined sugar intake? Do you think that that's even a worthy policy goal or objective?
I think that what we need to focus on is healthier lifestyles. We need to focus on curbing obesity. But when the public health lobby, or however we want to call them, targets something like soft drinks, Soft drinks only account for less than 6% of your average caloric intake per day on average. So it's not necessarily the boogeyman that it's made out to be. Now, they're certainly not good for you. They're certainly not healthy. You certainly shouldn't overindulge. But if we're looking to actually make a lasting impact on the health of Canadians or the health of Albertans, we have to have a much bigger conversation rather than nitpicking certain items that we don't like and trying to add regressive taxes onto them.
Do you have any stats? She didn't, but do you have any stats on where people get the most of their refined sugar from? Like, I am not a pop drinker at all. And so I mentioned to her, I eat donuts and sometimes I'll eat those delicious gummy bears that you can get at the till when you're checking out. But do we know that if you're going to be taking in empty calories, that there's a disproportionate number of people who are taking pop versus chocolate bars versus something else?
If you look at the percentage in terms of your average caloric intake per day, specifically from sugary drinks, the number is low. I don't have the figures on other items like, let's say, chocolate bars or snack foods or gummies or anything like that. But if we're going to talk about refined sugar, we also need to be talking about the healthy lifestyles that go along with why that really matters and why that has such a negative impact.
Well, I'm just trying to understand why it is every time this is brought up, they always focus on pop. And I would have to argue that probably eating something that's pure sugar like jujubes or chocolate bars are just as bad for you. Is it because they already have a system in place in most countries with the deposit that you have to pay for recyclables on pop that it makes it just easy to implement? Is that why it's such a target, or why is it? Why is it that they keep on singling this out?
I think it's an easy boogeyman, and part of it is because most people understand that there are negative health consequences to overindulging with things like pop. And so it's very easy for them to pass these types of taxes because they can frame it In terms of the optics, they can frame it as attacking something that people know that they shouldn't drink too much of. I think that's probably the biggest reason on why they continuously go after soft drinks.
David, if people are opposed to this, and most of my listeners are, how do they fight against it? Because these are some pretty big heavyweights that are trying to advance this. What do you recommend people do?
I would recommend, I mean, if you're going to be civically engaged, talk to the decision makers who make these decisions. Some jurisdictions, we have cities implement or try to implement these types of taxes. We have provinces doing it now with the suggestion on Alberta, the federal government. On the activism awareness side, get involved with organizations who speak for consumers or speak for taxpayers. So the Consumer Choice Center is an organization that speaks for grassroots consumers, and we advocate for market access and pushing back against some of this heavy-handed regulation. Getting involved with organizations like ourselves or the organizations we partner with who focus on taxes is a great way of having your voice heard, letting policymakers know that this isn't necessarily the right way to go in trying to curb obesity, and that we all want to curb obesity. We all want healthier lifestyles and healthier Canadians, but at the same time, we don't need to pass regressive taxes and treat adults like children and all sorts of negative policy implications with things like this proposed sugary drink tax.
David Clement, thanks you so much for your time today. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And David Clement is North American Affairs Manager of the Consumer Choice Center. All right. Who won that debate? You let me know. 403-974-8255. We will be right back on 770-CHQR.
Danielle Smith, weekdays starting at 9:30 a.m. on News Talk 770 Calgary.